Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 again, please. The fifth chapter of Matthew. And we'll read at verse 6. Verse 6, "Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled," or "they shall be satisfied." And let me just go over that verse again and kind of amplify it just a little bit for us to get the full meaning of it. Blessed indeed are they who hunger and thirst after God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For they shall be satisfied. May the Lord bless to us the public reading of His Word. Let us pray just for a moment. Father, thank You for preserving Thy Word for us down through the ages. And thank You for recording for us this sermon of the Lord Jesus. We're just so thrilled that these words fell from the lips of the Savior. And He spoke them to the multitude, but His disciples were sitting very close to Him. And how wonderful are these words, and how pregnant with meaning they are. And as we look further into this verse today, we do pray Thee, blessed Holy Spirit, to be present with us and reveal to us what the Lord is saying. And grant that there will be a message in it for each one. And grant that our lives will be the better of being here today. We ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Blessed indeed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they shall be satisfied. And I believe I asked the question yesterday morning, are you a filled Christian? Are you a satisfied Christian? Really? I know it's so easy to say that I have Christ, what want I more? And thank God for everyone who can say that sincerely before God. But so many say that, and before they're out of the door, or as soon as they're out of the door, they're getting off into Bypass Meadow to try and find this satisfaction, which evidently we do not find in Christ. So I want to ask you this morning, and you look into your heart real good and real closely, and answer the question, not to me, but to God. Are you a filled Christian? Are you a satisfied Christian? You may say, well, I have eternal life, Brother Dan, and that's wonderful. Praise God for that. But you remember the exhortation of yesterday too, that the Lord came to give life, eternal life, but He also came that we might have the abundant life. And what do you know about the abundant life? It's only the satisfied believer who can display the abundant life and who has the joy of that abundant life being within him and overflowing through him. Might I just remind you in passing about the three stages, and it is very important that we grasp this. There is the indwelling of the Spirit, and every believer has been privileged to have the Spirit of God to come and dwell in our mortal bodies. I don't know if you really appreciate that. Sometimes I don't, I'm afraid. It's so mind-boggling just to think that God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling within this earthly temple of mine. It's difficult for the human mind to grasp this, but it is true. But may I remind you that it is true, and it is the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. And because He is the Holy Spirit, then we ought to be holy people. And we are indwelt by the Spirit. We, at conversion, are born of God by the Holy Spirit. And oh, the great and wonderful truths that are ours because of the working of the Holy Spirit and because of the person of the Holy Spirit. And I can't go into these this morning because that's not on schedule at this time. But we owe so much to Him, and may God enlighten our minds that we may appreciate Him more. And so we all have the indwelling Holy Spirit. But you remember in John chapter 4 that we talked about the upspringing Holy Spirit. That water that would spring up into everlasting life. And here we have the upspringing of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many of us here this morning know somewhat of this glorious truth, how that on occasions, and sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes after much prayer, that to give us the authority and to give us position in certain circumstances, that the Spirit of God just springs up and prepares us for a certain situation. And we feel ourselves being borne along. It could be in witnessing to a friend. It could be in talking to a bereaved person or one who is hurting, and words come. And we wonder where they're coming from. And of course it is the Spirit of God that's springing up within us and giving us that power and giving us the ability to comfort and sometimes to lead to conviction as the Spirit probes into the heart. But then when we come to the third stage, that is the outflowing of the Spirit. And you remember the Lord said on the last day of the feast that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And the water that I shall give him shall flow out of his heart, our King James says, and that's a good rendering. But let me just change it just a little, not because this is wrong, but to bring it into language that we understand, that out of his life shall flow a rivulet? No. A river? No. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit to his capacity, the Holy Spirit overflows, and there are literally rivers of living water that come out. Now, I want to ask you the question, where are you on this standard, this scale of God's standard? Number one? Number two? Or number three? And I believe that it is God's will for you and for me and for every believer to be in stage number three, where the Spirit of God flows out to those around us. Now, our scripture says that blessed indeed are those that hunger and thirst after God. And I'm going to show you at a later time in our little talk together how what I have just said is very, very apropos. But first of all, let us just take it as I have quoted it to you. Hungering and thirsting after God. Now, as I understand, in the original language, that our English version and translation doesn't really convey the whole meaning here. You've been hungry, and you've been thirsty, but there's always been food there. You haven't really been really hungry, and you haven't been really thirsty, but you felt that you needed something to eat and something to drink. But this is not what is being meant, being told to us here by the Lord. Would it surprise you if I mentioned to you that this is the hunger that starvation produces? Now that puts a different light on it altogether, doesn't it? And may I just paraphrase the verse now? Blessed indeed are those that are craving after God. And then when we come to think of this word in this fashion, starvation, I'm sure that none of you here have really been at that point of starvation. I see a brother sitting in the back, and perhaps he was there, but we'll talk about that in a minute too. Peter gives us a very homey illustration of this. Can you see that little helpless child? And all of a sudden, it wakes out of a sleep, because we know that's all that they do. They just sleep and eat. Wakes out of a sleep, and then that cry just fills the room and sometimes fills the house. And what is it? This little one is starving. They're starving. And he or she is going to let everyone know within earshot that she is starving. And of course, mommy comes along, and in the natural way, or with the bottle, very soon this little one is sucking its head off, making all kinds of noises. It's just starving. And it's absorbing this milk. See? And Peter says that as newborn babes, that we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, see that little one? It's restless. Perhaps it's been lying, sleeping beautifully. And whenever it wakes up, there's hunger and it's restless. Those little arms begin to go, and the little feet begin to pound, and there's no peace at all. It wants something to eat. Now, immediately that it gets something to eat, what happens? Sometimes before the bottle is finished, it's satisfied and it's gone to sleep. You see? And Peter brings that to our notice. Now, are we like these a little babe? Do we hunger and thirst after God in this fashion? Are we starved for God? Do we crave for God? I'll tell you this much, that if you do, that when God feeds you with himself, that prior to the feeding, you are restless, you are unsatisfied, you are on the move and wondering what is next. But when you feed upon God to your utmost capacity, you will quieten down. And the scripture says, the Lord said, you will be satisfied. Now, happy is the man who hungers and thirsts after God like this. Now we come to the word thirst. And as you can suspect what I'm going to say, that this is not a normal thirst. you say, oh, I've got to have a drink of water. It's not really because you're thirsty, it's because you know that that water is good for you and that you should drink so much of it every day. But this is not what's been talked about here. Have you ever really been thirsty? Really thirsty? When you would have given your right hand for a glass of water. You've never been in that stage, I'm sure. Especially if you've lived in this country. But this is the thirst. This is not the normal thirst that Jesus is speaking about here. It is a thirst that racks the whole body. Now, do you get the picture? Do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying? That the man who is starving, and the woman, and the brother or sister whose body is being wrecked in their thirst for God, shall be satisfied, shall be filled. Now, I don't know where you come up or how far you come up to this standard, but that is what the Lord is speaking here. Now, let us go back to the Old Testament and just see one or two examples of this. David cried out in Psalm 63, and before I tell you what he cried out, let me just give you the background. David is out in the wilderness and he's being hunted by Saul and by Saul's soldiers, and it's a very difficult period for David, and he's having all kinds of difficulties, and there are dangers that lurk all around him. And David remembers the time that he went into the house of God and sat in his presence and reveled in his power and in his glory. And now he's out there, a fugitive, being hunted, deprived of these great privileges. And this is what he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. I long to see thy power and thy glory. Can you see the hunger? Can you see the thirst that is in the heart of David as he longs in his spirit and in his flesh to see the glory of God? To witness the power of God in the house of God. And there's a man who is really exhibiting this hunger and this thirst that Jesus speaks about. Now, when we go into another psalm, it's the 42nd psalm. And there is a couple of verses there that have been in my mind for years and years when I think of this hungering and thirsting. And let me quote it to you just as it's written, as the hart, or the deer, let's call it a deer, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, the living God. Now that is the psalmist. This psalm was written to the sons of Korah. But the psalmist is expressing a great truth here. And if I could just give you this literally. This deer has been chased by the hunters. It has been wounded sorely by the hunters. Perhaps there are arrows sticking into its body. It has been chased by the dogs. It has ran and it has just run itself into the earth. It has managed to elude its enemies for a moment. And it's standing and its body is wet with sweat. The froth is coming from its mouth. Its eyes are blazing. Its nostrils are open wide. And it's sniffing the air. And it's gasping, not for breath. And it's making little sounds, as deers do. And it's sniffing. It's water. Water, as the hart panteth after the water brook. There's nothing that it wants more than water. Beloved, that's how we should be. We should be hungering and thirsting after God in this way, just as the animal is crying out for water. May we be able to say, after this meeting is over, that my soul thirsteth for thee, the living God. Now in one of these psalms, the psalmist says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my soul follows after thee, my soul shall be satisfied, and my flesh longeth after thee. Now here is a man who in his totality, the total man, is hungering and thirsting and gasping and crying out for God. In a man or a woman in that spiritual condition, indeed, will be filled and will be satisfied with Christ. I don't want to draw attention to myself at this time, but I'm going to tell you that I know what it is to be starving. And I know what it is to be without water for a long period of time. And the experience is not a pleasant one. It's a debilitating one. It's a demoralizing one. Your body crying out for food, and your body crying out for that precious liquid, water. And even if it's not pure, clear, cold water, it's liquid. Even if it's not, if it doesn't have ice cubes in it, it's water. It's warm, but it's water. And I know what it is to be starving and to be thirsting. And I only wish and I pray this morning that that can be translated into my spiritual life and your spiritual life, that you will crave after God, after His Son, and after the blessed Holy Spirit. And if you do this genuinely, then you shall be satisfied. Now I want to draw your attention to the tense that we find in the language of this verse. And this is very important, because it could read like this, that blessed are they who go on hungering and thirsting for God. It's not just being hungering and thirsting this morning in these beautiful and peaceful and congenial surroundings. Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Anybody sitting in an atmosphere like this is saying, yes, yes, my heart is crying out. But that's not the point. It's when you're out in the world. And sometimes when you're in the room, your own home, and things are not going well physically and mentally when you get older, and your family is all this trouble in your family, do you still hunger and thirst for God? And this is the tense now of the language. Go on being hungry or go on hungering and thirsting after God. Here's something that perhaps will interest you. Hunger and thirst are an evidence of good health. What's the first thing that goes when you get sick? It's your appetite, isn't it? Oh, now that brings us to a very important point, doesn't it? Are you hungry and thirsty for God? If you are, praise God, because that is the sign of good health, good spiritual health. But are there some of you this morning and your appetite has gone? Now that's the sign of ill health. Nobody likes to live with ill health. If help can be gotten, then we get it. If that's your condition, may you come to the great physician this morning and have it changed, that your appetite, that you will have a voracious appetite for God and for His things. Isn't it a strange thing, but a true thing, that hunger and thirst feed hunger and thirst? Now let me explain. The hungrier you become, the more you crave for food. And the thirstier you become, the more you crave for water. Is that right? And the hungrier you become, and the thirstier you become, your craving increases. And in the spiritual life, that's beautiful. The hungrier you become for God, then the hungrier you become for God. You want to know more of Him. You want to know more of Christ. You want to have more of the Holy Spirit. And this goes on until you're almost driven in a frenzy to God and there to satisfy your hunger and your thirst. Let me show you something here from Ephesians chapter 5. Paul gives us two commandments. I don't know whether you have looked at this in this way or not, but it really is. And the first commandment he gives, it's over in verse 18, but maybe you could just listen just for a moment. And the first commandment is, be not drunk with wine. That's a commandment. Wherein is excess? And you say, yeah, I can understand that. And it means that if a person gets drunk with wine or liquor, whatever, that he's sinning. He's sinning. Say, yeah, I can understand that. That's quite true. But what is the second commandment? And it is this. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you get it? Now, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are sinning in the sight of God. That's what it means. That's a commandment. And oh, that God would touch your heart and cause you to see the greatness and the blessing that is within your grasp. To have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then might I change the tense again just a little bit. It's not a matter of being filled with the Spirit when you're here and saying amen, amen, or praise the Lord, or hallelujah. No, because there are the ups and there are the downs, but we have to go on seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the sense. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit day by day, moment by moment, allowing Him to come in and take control. And remember what I said, it may have been yesterday morning, I just forget, the verse of Scripture that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But remember the version that I gave to that verse, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Is the Spirit Lord in your life today? How much do we need the filling of the Holy Spirit? Now, let me show you or tell you of an incident that happened in D.L. Moody's life. We all know of D.L. Moody. He's a favorite character, a wonderful man, a wonderful evangelist, used by God ultimately. Perhaps as no other evangelist has ever been used. But he built the church in Chicago and preached in it, and sure, there were souls saved. There may have been 2 or 5 or maybe 10 after a service on occasions. But then you remember the church was burned down, and he went east to collect funds to rebuild. And when he was, I should tell you that during that time that he ministered in his church, that there were 3 old ladies that sat on the front pew every service. They sat there and looked up at him. And one day they went to him and they said something like this. They said, "Mr. Moody, you need the fullness of the Spirit in your life." And he was taken aback and he was angry that these old ladies should tell him, the great evangelist, that he needed the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. But you know, after he went home, his anger cooled and he began to think and pray, and he saw that there was a lack of something in his life. So he went to collect some money to build the church. And when he was in New York, the Spirit of God came upon him as he was walking down the street, as the story goes, and he rushed into the business place of a friend and said, "Give me a room, give me a room." And they showed him back to the back part of the store, and he was there for quite a while, and then they heard him shouting out, "No more, Lord, no more, Lord. I can't take it, I can't take any more, Lord." And when he came out, his face was shining. And D.L. Moody has never told what happened in that room. But the effects of that experience was seen in his ministry. It was the same message that he preached. It was the same Christ that he extolled. But instead of 10 or 15 being saved, there were hundreds, hundreds being captivated by the accompanying power of the Holy Spirit that permeated his preaching. And I thank God that he left America and went to Britain. And the proud British press dubbed him as the man who murdered the King's English. He was the man who sold shoes, not educated at all. But there were literally tens of thousands of people in England that were swept into the kingdom through the preaching of D.L. Moody after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, may God help us to see this tremendous truth. Perhaps the barrenness and the sterility that we see around us today can be traced to the fact that we are not starving for God. That we are not thirsting for God until our body, our spiritual life is wrecked in our search as we cry out for Him. And that we know very little of the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. May God help us now as we leave, not to leave and before we go out the door to forget. This is important. And it is my prayer that you, if you have never done it before, that you will hunger and thirst after God, after His Son, Jesus Christ, and after God, the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of these salient truths. And if we would pray anything at this time, it would be, give us all an unsatisfied appetite to follow after God. And, O Father, we pray that as we seek Thee, as we eat of Thee, as we drink of Thee, that we may experience that wonderful thrill of being filled and being satisfied. We praise Thee together, and we acknowledge that Thou art God, and we have entered into Thy